Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Name of this show, Today's Issues, here on AFR, and we thank you for listening. Joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim. And I just want our audience to know right now that you are a man who will take one for the team. If you're watching, you will understand what I mean.
Yeah, if you can see my 60-year-old face, on our live streaming service, streaming.afa.net or Facebook Live, Today's Issues. Yeah, I was doing a little pregame warm-up with my 8-year-old baseball player, grandson, Harden. And I said, okay, Coach might put you into pitch. Hey, Chris Woodward, by the
way. Good morning.
I said, hey, who knows? It's a practice game tonight. This is yesterday's. Coach might put you into pitch. So get out there on the mound, and I'll play catcher. And Poppy will play catcher, and you hum a couple in there in case you get in the game tonight. So he hums one in there, except it bounced. Well, I don't have the reflexes I used to have.
And you don't have a catcher's mask.
No, there's no catcher's mitt. No, it's just me and I do have a glove. Uh-huh. I'm not that stupid. Try to catch with my bare hands. I have a glove. Anyway, that ball takes a one hop.
Uh-huh.
And hits me square in the eyebrow right there.
It's noticeable.
Yes, I'm out there bleeding, but it was a little cut, but it didn't need a stitch.
Uh-huh.
I'm tougher than that. So we're having dinner last night after the ball game, and Allison goes, "Your eyes turning really black." And this, sure enough, got up this morning, and boom,
there it was.
And I said to you this morning at our staff meeting, "Yeah, you ought to see the baseball though." Anyway, baseballs don't give much.
No.
They're not like a tennis ball. Anyway, all right. So, hey, you do what you can for your grandkids.
There you go. Dedicated to the cause.
Took a wild pitch from a wild man.
Took one for the team.
That's right.
So to speak. All right. Abraham Hamilton III will be coming on with us at the bottom of the hour. We look forward to visiting with Abe, a constitutional attorney and host of the Hamilton Corner, each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. A lot to talk about. Chris, I guess this is still the big news, is the situation in Nashville.
Yeah, the unfortunate, it's a tough story to cover, but, we don't necessarily always get to pick and choose our topics. We talk about things going on in the news. One of the big debates right now with this shooting and the investigation has been whether or not authorities should release the manifesto that police say they have from the shooter, who was identified earlier this week as 28-year-old Audrey Hale. Audrey was a woman who identified as a man and wanted to be referred to as he and him in her pronouns. And in their investigation of Audrey Hale, police again have said they've come across a manifesto amongst her personal effects. There's a Newsweek article, and I'm going to share this link here in a second, that kind of gets into the debate. Republicans and other people want the manifesto released so that way we figure out what exactly she was thinking, planning, that kind of stuff.
But isn't this normal procedure for manifestos to be released when we have mass killings?
Well, and in this case, the person who would normally be charged with the murders is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not going to be a trial.
Right.
There's no need to hold on to evidence.
Right.
The question this morning is, why are you not releasing this manifesto? The manifesto for folks who, what's a manifesto? Basically, it is her declaration as to why she did this, mm-hmm. what her intentions were. That would help us. Right now, we're left to speculate. But it would sure be good to be able to get that out in public so the public sees this was in her mind. when she went to that school.
So police are in possession of this.
Mm-hmm. They have it.
They have it. And have they said categorically, no, we won't, or they said we haven't decided yet?
They have not categorically said, no, we're not going to release it. But they're being asked to, and they're refusing at this point.
Okay. Then you have to say, well, okay, so I'm going to give them another day or two, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see. But if they don't, you have to say, why not?
Especially because they released all the video. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, right. They released very graphic video. The day before, we saw pictures.
And what a job those police officers did in responding.
So we saw it. I mean, we saw the police officers rushing the building. We saw the shots being fired, her being encountered in the building. They've released all of that to the public, which normally would be held if there was a trial for an accused. So why not release the manifesto?
Right. Well, okay. Well, we'll see whether they do today or not. If they don't, I don't know why they wouldn't. Now, there's, listen, the liberal news media wants to cover up this story. Why, you say, Tim? They want to move on. Why? Because they don't want to learn that the motive of the killer was she hated Christians. Mm. And because she was a girl who said she was a boy. Mm. And or a woman who said she was a man. In her case, she's 28 years old. She's not a girl. But anyway, was her motivation one of hate for Christians, because many Christians do not subscribe to the LGBT, especially the idea that a boy can be a girl. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll see. So, and you know what? This is about two or three of these mass killings now that have involved a person who said they were transitioning. Remember the one in Colorado? Was it Colorado Springs? Remember that a few months back? When was that?
Or Boulder.
Was it Boulder?
It may have been.
You know, Chris is typing that in. We all know it was at the, was it at a gay club? Wasn't it at a gay nightclub?
Yes, LGBTQ nightclub.
Okay. Well, as it turns out, the person who did this was a member of their, that was LGBTQ, mm-hmm. I think a trans.
Mm-hmm.
Who did? I'm just saying that there's been two or three of these involving trans people.
And normally in cases like this, and I go back to the shooting at the gay club in Orlando back a few years ago, the media was out immediately trying to find out who the person, the shooter was, and about the motivation. What's really interesting is the LGBT groups are all calling for the manifesto not to be released.
Why?
Well, that's... So why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Listen, I've said this before. This is my view, so I only speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a country of 330 million people, you have a certain percentage that are whacked out.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They're crazy. They're mentally ill. There are... and so... You're going to, in a free and open society, sadly, you're going to have events like this happen from time to time. Quite frankly, to me, it's a wonder we don't have more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several reasons for that. Number one is the moral breakdown of going on in the breakdown of morality in America, generally speaking. You didn't have these kinds of events take place prior to like 20 years ago. Columbine was the first big one, if you remember that, in Colorado. That made national news that I can recall. Maybe there was something preceding that that made national news, but Columbine kind of got the nation.
Kind of got it going. Yeah.
So,
the trend.
So, anyway, so you look for motives why people do these things, and most of the time it's because the people are mentally ill. They've got something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Going on. in their head, and Christians would understand a lot of that time it's demon possession. That's what the Bible would oftentimes call it. So I don't ascribe
Scribe.
Blame. Which one am I looking for, Fred?
I think a scribe.
Blame to a whole category of people because one of their members acts out in a violent way that's not representative of a whole group. We have to be careful about doing that. So I'm not, you know, because this person was trans, it was a woman who thought she was a man. I don't say all people in the who are in that are hate-filled people who are on the edge of violence. Okay, I think that would be unfair. I completely disagree with their lifestyle. Hope that they find the Lord and get their lives in order, because God can help them overcome this mental illness, is what I call it, and what the American Psychological Association called it forever. That is, you're a woman or a man, and you think you're vice versa, or you think you're the opposite. Here's the problem. The liberal news media, back to them, they are, if it involves a, if this were a Christian, so-called Christian, I wouldn't say a Christian could do this kind of thing, who blew up a nightclub, a gay nightclub, or shot up a nightclub, they would say this is indicative of all Christians. This is what they, this is what, how Christians believe. This is what they do. This is what motivates them, hate for the LGBT community. Thus, they kill them.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yes.
That's what they would do. If it's a somebody who's, let's say, they are motivated to harm other people, pardon me, because of their racial animus. Like what we saw in Buffalo. Remember that guy? He went into the, he was a white guy. He goes into a supermarket, wasn't it? Predominantly black folks, and wanted to kill them because they were black, right? That happened in South Carolina. What was that guy's name? Dylan? You remember the guy that happened?
Went into the church.
About 10 years ago?
Yes.
You remember his name, Brent? What was his name?
Dylan Roof.
Dylan Roof. He went into the, he was a white supremacist. He went into the black church. He killed the people because they were African American. Okay. Well, that's a guy, even white supremacy is a mental illness. So in a way, it's an ideological perversion. Okay. You could say that, but that's not representative of 99.99999% of the white American public.
Right.
Okay. But the liberal news media, if it's a somebody who's a, has a Christian background that does something like this, or they're a white person, they immediately say it's because of white supremacy or racism, and that's prevalent. I would say, no, it's not prevalent. It's not. It's a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of people who believe in that. So they, but compare that with this. You see what I'm saying? If this were a person who went into a gay nightclub and shot people dead, they would say, see there, the Christians caused this.
Yeah.
Okay, or whatever. Or yeah. In this case, they're not going to say, they're trying to avoid saying this, applying the same standard to a trans person who does something atrocious like this.
I want to go back to something.
That was a long-winded, but you understand my point?
I want to go back to something you said just a moment ago. This wasn't happening 25, 30, 40 years
ago. Right,
all right.
And more guns.
Yes.
At school.
Please, and they're blaming guns.
Blaming guns.
Right away, Joe Biden, blame guns.
Either blame white people, Christians, or guns. Yeah. We got those three choices.
Here's the problem. Guns have been readily available. They were readily available 30, 40 years ago. I've heard testimony from guys talking about this. Hey, I used to go to high school. I had a gun rack in my truck. And nobody was worried about it. Okay, so what? Something else has happened. It's not because guns are more prevalent. Something else has happened in our culture.
Right. Which is the breakdown of moral values.
Breakdown of moral values. You know,
the family unit.
The family unit, violent video games. That has come up from, I think, even Michelle Obama talked about, and Mrs. Gore, Al Gore's wife, talked about the violent video games, promoting violence in Tipper Gore. She talked about that. So there are a lot of things that have happened. Stop blaming guns, number one. Guns don't go out and kill people. People take guns and kill people. So what's going on? There's a deterioration in our society of biblical values. And Christians are being mocked. Christians are now being blamed.
Right.
All of these sorts of things. I just want to go back. The question, why are the homosexual transgender groups calling for the manifesto not to be released?
I can answer that.
Go.
Chris, this is your shine, Chris.
Yeah, this one of the stated reasons, and this is in the Newsweek article I just shared the link for, one of the stated reasons from groups like Log Cabin Republicans is they say it may inspire other transgender people to do the same, or it may lead to more shootings based on what this person shared in her manifesto.
Why are you worried about that, that it may cause others to do this? Why?
Like a copycat deal?
Mm-hmm. Now, that is similar to, like, I worked in television before I came to radio, as I've shared on this program before, and I took calls sometimes from people at the TV stations that I worked at when we started covering a shooting that had just happened, a school shooting. And I remember one time I said, so-and-so, this is Chris. And she, the viewer said, if y'all would quit covering these things, people wouldn't shoot people. Like, she blamed the news media for covering the school shooting as to why there's more school shootings. And there may be some copycats that do inspire, that do get inspired by those things. But I don't know necessarily that that is entirely 100% accurate, what that viewer claimed.
Yeah. Well, it's a double standard that the liberal news media applies here. If it's not a white, especially a white male, or Christian, they're not interested in the reason why the person committed a mass murder.
Mm. And want to suppress any information that would lead to the truth that they were motivated by hatred of Christians.
Right. Now, speaking of hatred of Christians, that has been one of the things that people have thrown out there that, well, this was a Christian school. She was a former student there. Maybe she was mad at Christians. All that kind of stuff. I have two sound bites here. I'm going to play the first one, and then we'll follow it up with the second for context. What you're going to hear now is the Nashville police chief saying yesterday that police at this time do not believe the victims were targeted based on their Christian faith. Clip one.
We feel that these students that were targeted were randomly targeted. There was not any particular student that they were that she was looking for at the time of the incident.
Now, Josh Hawley doesn't believe that, but I can.
Well, now there's a little nuance here. What he's saying, that's the police chief.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm understanding him to say is that when the the shooter killer went into the school, they weren't necessarily trying to find a particular person. Now, I did wonder that when I learned the pastor's 9-year-old daughter was one of the ones killed. I was talking to Allison, my wife, and said, I wonder if she went in to take her out because she was the pastor's wife. I did wonder that.
Pastor's daughter, yeah.
Yes, but this police chief is saying no. It just we don't have any evidence to believe she was targeted. Now that's a different question than the manifesto would answer, which is, did she go into a Christian school because there were Christians there, while not necessarily going to kill an individual? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I would say if the killer, there's the story out there that says the killer wanted to go to another school first, but that school had a lot of security.
Right.
And I don't know who she told that to or wrote that.
It was in some of her materials. What was that? Police say they had
a text to her friend or something like that. But I'm not making that up.
No.
Okay, so my question would be, if she intended to go to a secular school or a public school and do this kind of thing, but couldn't because it was a more secure facility, but she chose this school because it was more vulnerable, then that may indicate, I'm just saying, speculating here, that it was not a situation where she was targeting Christians necessarily. You see what I'm
Well, that's now? Why yeah. if you release the manifesto,
right.
we
right.
know.
Yeah, bingo.
You can solve a lot of this
bingo.
Today.
Bingo.
Now, one person that does believe Christians were the target is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, and he wants the Nashville shooting treated as a hate crime because Hawley says the victims were targeted simply because they are Christians. Clip two.
Police in Nashville have said this school was targeted. It wasn't random. It wasn't happenstance. No, they were targeted. That is a federal hate crime. There should be a federal hate crime investigation. Federal government should make all of its resources available to Nashville police. We need to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. And to do that, Laura, we need to know how it happened now. We need to know the kind of hateful rhetoric that led to this. We need to know what the influences on this shooter were. And we need to be clear about the truth here. When you target Christians, you target religious believers, that's a hate crime.
Absolutely. Senator Hawley's right on that. Sound like to me he's beyond what we've said here. He said that the Nashville police said that they were targeted because they were Christians.
It's but again, that gets us to the question we started the show with.
Yeah.
Should they release the manifesto? Yeah. You could solve a lot of problems right now if you would just do it.
They're going to have
but
to.
But to go back, the Nashville police chief says the individuals weren't targeted. That's the difference. All right. They may not have been targeted. The individuals, the school principal, the janitor, and the substitute teacher. But was the school targeted because it's Christian?
Yeah. You know, guns aren't the problem. It's the people pulling the trigger.
Yes.
I've said this before. This isn't original with me, but it kind of is a great way to look at it. Blaming a gun for a crime is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word. In other words, okay, well, let's just take away the pencils and then we won't have any more misspelled words, right? I mean, that's stupid, all right? And it's the same analogy here that it's the people pulling the trigger that's the problem, and the reasons they're pulling the trigger to kill other people. It's not the guns themselves. Guns are inanimate objects. They don't get out of their the shelf of their house and run out during the day and try to find people to shoot. The guns, I'm obviously being facetious here, but making a point. It's the criminals who do the actions. And furthermore, listen, criminals don't obey gun laws. How hard is that to understand?
Right.
And yet Biden and these people keep on and on about gun control. There is already a law against murder.
Right. Against drugs. We have drugs.
Okay, let's take this situation. Mm-hmm. There is a law against murder. She didn't obey that. Uh-huh. There is a law against breaking and entering. Uh-huh. She didn't obey that.
Uh-huh.
So what makes you think another gun law that you're going to pass is going to prevent criminals from gaining guns,
yeah,
or knives or cars to do their heinous actions? It's a way to obfuscate. Is that the right word? Boy, I've hit about two or three words that are 50-50.
It's the popcorn.
Today. Listen, it's a way to... What liberals do, their classic reaction to things like this, is to try to take the blame away from the individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blame society. Blame something else. And there are causes. There are secondary causes why people do the things that they do. But first and foremost, it's the personal responsibility of the individual for their actions.
Yes.
And that's the thing that the liberals want to skip over when they talk about these kinds of things, especially if they are in a group that the liberals want to protect.
Yes.
From criticism. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a short time out. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us in a few minutes here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And we look forward to that visit. Stay with us.
Prior to birth, children need our help. Read A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life by Pastor Joseph Parker.
We are called this day to stand for the innocent and speak out on their behalf.
This collection of essays by Pastor Joseph challenges us to take a public stand to protect the lives of the unborn. A Pastor's Notes is available now at resources.afa.net.
The body of Jesus Christ must speak up.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
Liberty University's K-12 Online Academy is the best of a homeschool, private school, and Bible-based education all rolled into one. With LUOA, you can take charge of your child's learning environment and create a structured yet flexible schedule that works for your family. Our qualified teachers are easily accessible for guidance and support along the way. And with new classes starting every Monday, it's never too late to make a switch to LUOA. To learn more, text LUOA to 88741. That's LUOA to 88741.
It had been a long day in the coal mines for Michael McGuire of Pikeville, Kentucky. He'd been up since 4:30 in the morning, but the Kentucky Wildcats were in town for a scrimmage, and Michael wanted to take his 3-year-old son to his very first basketball game. Michael didn't have time to run home and clean up, so he showed up at the basketball arena in his work clothes, covered in soot. Coach John Calipari noticed Michael sitting in the stands, and it brought back memories, good memories, of his own childhood, growing up in a coal mine town in Clarksburg, West Virginia, his family's American dream. Coach Calipari snapped a photo, shared it on social media, and of course it went viral, promising to bring Michael and his family to Rupp Arena, where the coal miner and his boy will be treated like VIPs. No doubt, an American dream. You need to read my latest book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. It's available at toddstarnes.com.
Be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come upon me what may. Why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Job 13:13-15.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Yeah. This is Michael. Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Chris, we thank you for listening. Hey, if you want to watch, go to Facebook Live. And you can access the video there. We also post the stories that we discuss on Facebook for Today's Issues. And we also have our own live video streaming service you can access, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. We video stream many of our radio programs throughout the day here on American Family Radio. Our email address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Tim, Chris, and Fred. Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Abe, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to ask you, you don't even know I'm going to ask you this question. You do know the topic we're going to get to in a minute, but we were discussing the situation in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And in a broader context of criminal activity and who to assign blame to for crimes, I said that the liberal position, not all liberals, but a lot of liberals' position on crime is they don't want to make the person accept responsibility for their actions first and foremost. In other words, there are reasons why people commit criminal acts that we can study and understand, But the liberals don't want, unless it's a category of people they don't like, conservatives namely, that they don't want to say, okay, this person is individually responsible for their actions, therefore they must be punished as such. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
What's your... You've spent many years in the criminal justice system. What's your take on what I just said?
Yeah, man, the unfortunate reality is that in order to try to navigate the obviously illogical position that that is, you have to understand the worldview that it stems from. First of all, I agree with your assessment that for people who you all know I call regressives, their first line of rationality concerning crime and criminality has nothing to do with the person who actually commits the crime.
It's the guns. Or the knives.
It's the guns, or it's society,
right.
Muslims kill, they need more jobs. And, you know, it's a consistent phenomenon because it comes from a worldview that presumes something about mankind that is not true. It denies the reality of the sin nature. So if something goes wrong with people whom, when you remove God from your worldview, you replace him, as Romans 1 said, by deifying man. You know, before you get to man's animals and beasts in Romans 1, it said the exchange... The affinity for the creator for themselves, making man God. Well, if you make mankind inherently virtuous, then if mankind does something wrong, it must be somebody else's fault, something else's fault, unless it's somebody we don't like.
Yes.
If it's somebody we don't like, then you open both barrels, you know, you let everything flow. And so with these overarching worldview considerations, then criminality even of itself becomes a tool in advancing political narratives, which is why you have these Soros-funded prosecutors whose job is to protect their citizenry, to uphold their state constitutions and the federal constitutions, who many of them on day one decide, you know what, like Alvin Bragg in New York, Manhattan, we're not going to put people in jail anymore for felonies. No more carceral sentences, but let's consider an indictment against one of our political enemies, former President Trump, while I'm responsible for downgrading more than 50% of all felonies in Manhattan from felonies to misdemeanor. It is a worldview diversion that when you ultimately get down to it, it becomes God's word versus man's word.
Yeah. Can I ask Abe a question with regards to Nashville? Authorities at this point, we've been talking about this morning, are refusing to release the manifesto of the shooter.
Go ahead.
As of yet, but according to what I understand, they're resisting doing it, period. And I don't know how long that will persist, but I'm sorry, finish your question.
Why? What could the possible reason be? Question number two, is there a way for someone to petition a court to say you must?
Two good questions. First, and this may seem like an oversimplification, but the refusal to release to the public information concerning a motive for a murderer, a mass murderer in this instance, more than two people, is because it does not fit the prevailing narrative. You know, when the stories, this tragedy was initially reported, most legacy media outlets went out of their way to report it's a girl. It was a female who committed this. Initial report said it was a teenage girl.
Yeah.
The initial report said. Then they said, well, it's a female, even though they knew very early on it's actually a woman who was presenting herself as a male. The only explanation behind that, not wanting to do that, and if you know some of the most recent mass shootings, you have other incidences. You have non-binary people. You have transgender people who are committing murders. They're excluding that from their rationality because they don't want to have a public conversation. Does this have any bearing on this murderous rampage that this person just went on? You know, and if it does not, it does not. But can we not, as a civil society of rational human beings, have the conversation? You know, so the refusal to share the manifesto, which Chief Drake, Metropolitan Nashville Police Chief Drake, said, I played it on the Hamilton Corner last night, said, we have the manifesto. An enterprising reporter, a local reporter, followed up and said, does that indicate to you that this particular Christian school was targeted because of the murderer's transgender identity? The Chief Drake said, it seems so. There is a theory. Another reporter followed up and said, well, was this school specifically targeted? Mm-hmm. He said, yes. When you have revelation from the chief of the police department that says that the school was specifically targeted, the American people are done a disservice if we're not able to know why were they targeted.
Yeah.
To your second question about whether or not individual citizens can do anything to find it out, because it's a law enforcement document, you don't have the same types of FOIA access and things of that nature to compel its release. But I do believe ultimately it'll be released, but I think it'll be done kind of under darkness of night to try to avoid it becoming a contribution to a news story.
So, I mean, there's not going to be a trial, obviously, because the shooter is dead.
Which cuts against the exigency of having the deal released for probative trial purposes. But for the sake of the community,
yes,
it will be important for the community to know.
All right. I want to change topics now. I want to play part of an interview that former President Trump did. Was it Monday evening? I'm not sure. I think it was Monday evening with Fox News host Sean Hannity. And he, I don't know how long the interview went up, but one of the big questions for President Trump was, what about your appointment of Christopher Wray to be the chief of the FBI? And I wanted to play what Hannity asked and then the president's response to that.
You happy with Chris Wray?
But just so you understand, I put Chris Wray in because I wanted to have somebody in there that everybody, including the other side, really wanted. It may not have been the right move. Let's see. Time will tell, okay? But I wanted to have somebody in the FBI because I'm an honorable guy. I'm an honest guy. I may have made a mistake, but I put somebody in that the other side, everybody agreed to. You know who recommended him to me? Chris Christie. Okay, he recommended him. And that's okay. I don't mind that. I've taken Chris Christie's recommendations before. And other people wanted Christopher Wray. And people from the other side wanted Christopher Wray.
But now and Jim Jordan is investigating, though, if the FBI is politicized.
Yeah.
I've interviewed two of the whistleblowers. There's going to be, according to his committee, dozens of FBI whistleblowers. And they're also looking into the question, and you brought up these words last night, the weaponization of the Department of Justice.
Total.
So
total.
The question is, so they had the laptop since 2019. They could have easily verified it within days, I would imagine, with the technology advancement
they don't
and equipment.
Talk about.
Okay. They knew your lawyer would likely leak it. And FBI agents are meeting weekly with big tech saying that that might be misinformation.
By the way, the lawyer couldn't leak it because they took it away from him. They took it away. And, you know, they raided his apartment and they took a lot of the things he has. I don't know if they took that, but I think they took it away or they took parts of it
all
away.
Right.
But
stop right there. I don't know what all the rest of that conversation is. You can find it on the Internet. Here's the point I wanted to raise with you. Hannity pretty point blank to former President Trump, whose reputation is fighting the deep state, right? And Christopher Wray, whom former President Trump appointed to the FBI. Wow, look at his record. Go ahead. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's horrendous. Actually, and I see Sean Hannity asking this question to former President Trump really to enable him to cover one of his big vulnerabilities for his announced 2024 presidential run. Christopher Wray is a glaring fly in the ointment when you consider what it is. People have to remember the context. Who was Christopher Wray's predecessor? James Comey. James Comey was Christopher Wray's predecessor, one who oversaw the complete perversion of
Comey was already in when President Trump took over, right?
That's right. Comey,
okay, gotcha.
Comey was in office.
He was an appointment by, I think, Clinton or either Bush, I'm not sure.
Kept all the way up to that point. So you have the person who literally oversaw initially the FISA court abuses, who oversaw the abuses by she or shall never be president with her private server, laid out publicly why she should be prosecuted, and then said, but nobody would ever do that. This is the one who precedes Christopher Wray. President Trump was elected in 2016 with a mandate of the American people following his drain the swamp. When asked, why did you nominate Christopher Wray? His answer is, and remember, Wray was nominated and appointed in 2017, soon after President Trump was inaugurated. So one of the first official major level executive branch department appointments you make because you're trying to appease the swamp while trying to drain the swamp. Christopher Wray is a swamp rat.
Yes.
He's a former deputy attorney general. He lives, breathes, and oozes swampness from Washington, D.C. And one of the first things you do in office is appoint one of their own because you're an honorable guy. I'm an honorable guy. of an honorable guy.
Chris Christie told him to do it.
And he's listening to Chris Christie.
Right.
Let's look at some of Christopher Ray's greatest hits. One, FISA abuse scandal fallout. Did he do any discipline for any of the FBI officials trying to pay Christopher Steele $1 million to help knock him out of the presidential election? What about Hunter Biden's laptop? As Sean Hannity put it out, the FBI had it since 2019. Mm. Not only did nothing with it, but with the knowledge they gained from the laptop, they imperceptibly, sneakily go up to Twitter and to Facebook and others. Hey, there may be some Russian disinformation coming. And, you know, it may look a lot like a Hunter Biden laptop story. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you it's Russian disinformation. Then you have the school, the parents. We've wanted parents for ad infinitum to be involved in their local schools, their school boards. When they say, hey, there's some curricula being presented to my local school board, I don't want that taught to my child. Guess what the Department of Justice does? Labels them domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. Who is the FBI director who's over that? Christopher Wray. You have pro-lifers being arrested in dark of night, drudging up dead charges. The lawyers for Mark Hawk and others say, hey, we'll turn our guy in. No, we don't want you to turn him in. We want to show up with a raid team with AR-15s drawn, ballistic vests, to have to arrest him in front of his children, though we know that this is going nowhere because it got tossed out previously. Mm-hmm. It gets tossed out again. Not only are pro-lifers not arrested, when you have pro-life pregnancy centers that are being attacked, vandalized following the potential announcement of Roe being overturned, they have no arrests, no investigations whatsoever. And then one of the greatest hits in addition to all of this is the same Christopher Wray-directed FBI rage President Trump's own Mar-a-Lago. But he says, time will tell. Time will tell if I made a mistake. Sir, yeah. Time has told.
Yes.
You would do a much better job of saying Christopher Wray was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the biggest mistakes of my presidency,
right,
which is why I'm running again to correct that mistake. One of the first things I'm going to do is send him out on his keister.
I have the press release from June of 2017 when Trump said he intended to nominate Wray to be director of the FBI. And at the time, I just shared this link. At the time, Trump said, quote, he is an impeccably qualified individual, and I know that he will again serve his country as a fierce guardian of the law and model of integrity, but once the Senate confirms him to lead the FBI.
I would use the expression that didn't age well.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah, listen, Christopher Wray, he followed up Comey, and I had not heard that from President Trump before.
Neither had I.
That he admitted, he said, I wanted somebody that the other side agreed with, but yes, the other side is the swamp.
Yes.
And the other side is I don't understand. Listen, when President Trump went into office, he didn't know about Washington circles that much. Okay. So I can, and he doesn't make every appointment. Okay. A lot of the administration is appointed by people underneath him. And there's a lot of things that go on that happen that President Trump wouldn't necessarily know about or have any control over that you have to take blame for or credit for. And he likes taking credit. But as do all politicians, right? But in this case, I'm saying that answer to Sean Hannity, that's a terrible answer. Abe, he should have said, and President Trump can say the word disaster really well, and he should have said Christopher Wray was a disaster for all the reasons you mentioned. Not the least of which, he could have said raiding my home, and not say time will tell, I may have made a mistake. That is not recognizing the seriousness of your appointment of Christopher Wray. And I was also, so to say, well, I wanted somebody that the Democrats liked. And then he also says Chris Christie was the guy. It's kind of like blame Chris Christie. Don't blame me.
Yes.
Chris Christie was the guy who recommended him. Chris Christie, former mayor, governor of New Jersey, who is a liberal Republican, right, on most issues. Not all issues. He's moderate on some, maybe conservative on some. But that was his advisor on this. That's who he listened to. Anyway, I was just kind of stunned because,
Well, it completely undermines his entire drain the swamp
yeah
commitment.
Yes.
you're admitting to the American people
yes.
that Drain the Swamp wasn't a true commitment. It was something I said. I got elected with it. But one of the first things I do, having an opportunity to replace Comey. That's the thing we have to remember. It's not just making a nomination, because I agree with you. President Trump was not a Washington, D.C.
Right,
insider,
right,
no
right.
doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, we need to get somebody better than Comey.
Yes.
In Comey's former job.
Right.
And your commitment is, man, let's get somebody that the Democrats like.
And for Trump to say on Monday of this week, here we are 2023, to say time will tell whether that was a mistake.
That's bad.
For all those are just that's a few bad. Of the examples.
That's bad.
Anyway.
That's bad.
That was kind of stunning that I wanted somebody that the other side liked. That's the whole reason he went there, to fight the swamp. All right. Thank you, Abraham Hamilton III. What are you going to do this afternoon on your show? What's the main topic? Do you know yet?
Well, I'm going to have Pastor Joseph Parker on. We're going to talk a bit about the importance of the Ten Commandments. There was something I remember. It might have been right about Commandment 6 that has something to do with some of the things we're dealing with today. You know, you shall not murder.
Right.
A lot of people want to talk about, you know, gun control, politicization, policies, things of that nature. There's a particular point in time, 1962, from that time period when America kicked God out of public schools officially through the Supreme Court, there's been a precipitous spike in violence in our nation.
You're right.
The issue is not the instrumentalities. The issue is the core of the hearts of the American people.
Yes.
And so, and I would just say, if you want to hear a contrast in radio voice and personality, this afternoon is the show you want to tune into from 5 to 6 o'clock, because you're going to have Abraham Hamilton III who... And get going and get his preacher voice going and his attorney criminal prosecutor voice going. And then you're going to have Pastor Joe Parker, who is, late night on NPR. Smooth jazz with Joe Parker. All right, brother. We'll listen this afternoon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Christopher.
Well, I want to make sure we get this in here.
And not all Christophers are part of the swamp.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Thank you for pointing that out. You know.
Well, we're still trying to figure
out. Time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Yeah. All right.
All right. It's been a rough week for DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. He continues to be criticized, and rightly so, for a lack of border security. And Secretary Mayorkas appeared this week before senators to talk about things like fentanyl and Border Patrol and all that. I've got a montage here of senators hammering Secretary Mayorkas over border security. Clip 7.
It appears to me to be something that is perhaps an intentional effort to obfuscate the real problem, to hide the absolute humanitarian and legal disaster that we have unfolding on our southern border, one with massive national security implications and human health implications. This is a fireable offense.
If you had integrity, you would resign. And I will tell you, the men and women of the Border Patrol, they've never had a political leader undermine them. They despise you, Mr. Secretary, because you're willing to let children be raped to follow political orders.
What the senator said was revolting. I'm not going to address it.
Did you just parachute in from another planet, Mr. Secretary? Because you're the only person in the Milky Way who believes that we're not having massive, massive illegal immigration into America.
Senator, you're putting words into my mouth.
No, sir, I'm accurately describing the situation.
Now, the guy there at the end was Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, who also went on to say, and I'll share this link, either Mayorkas believes in open borders or he is not qualified to manage Chuck E. Cheese.
That's your favorite senator, isn't it?
He's my favorite senator. He just has a way. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, we had the head of the Border Patrol
right
before a hearing. He was asked, is the border being managed, I forget what the term was, or basically the head of the Border Patrol says, no, it's out of control. Mayorkas says everything's under control. Somebody's lying. And I think if you take a little bit of time and watch, you know, Fox News has been down there over the last 2 years, and we have seen what is happening on our southern border. and our it's the Border Patrol people. It's not Republicans trying to make political hay. It's the Border Patrol people that say things are out of control. We have millions of people who have entered this country since Joe Biden became president because candidate Joe Biden said, I'll invite a surge at the border. Well, you know what? The world believed him, and the world arrived at our southern border, and basically they found a border where I can cross almost any time of the day. We're overwhelmed. We have the government of the state of Texas trying to send troops down there to help the Border Patrol
National Guard
to stop this.
Yeah. The estimates are 5 million.
Easily.
5 million people have crossed the border illegally and entered the country since Biden became president. Listen, I think this is kind of now baked in with the American voting public. We'll see. It'll because it's going to come up again in the next presidential campaign. Who knows if Biden will be the Democrats' nominee. It's pretty clear. If you believe in border control, a country controlling its borders, you believe in lawful immigration, then the Republicans are the ones, for the most part, not altogether, but the Republicans, for the most part, are a party who represents that view. If you are a person who says, I don't believe in borders, let anybody and everybody in who wants to come because for whatever reason, you don't believe in borders, that the second part of what I just said is stands to reason, right? Yeah, I just want to let, I don't want any, there's no point in having border agents. And that's really the view of many in the Democrat Party. They don't believe in borders. AOC and they believe it's immoral to have borders. So, and thus millions of people come into our country. By the way, they arrested like 40 on the FBI watch list for
terrorists.
Yeah,
it's supposed to break a record this year. I'll share the
list. That's 40 they detected.
That's right. That's the ones that they caught.
That's that. So there's only so much capacity to stop the bad guys.
It'll be so. Anyway, that's the view of the Democrat Party: open border, no borders.
That's right.
I'm not going to say open borders. There's no borders. They really don't. And that's what Mayorkas is on the hot seat for, at least with the Republicans, is they're telling him, this is a disaster under your watch. Answer for it, and he doesn't have an answer. And what happened is a week or two ago, as you cited, Fred, the fellow who is over our border control, who's under Mayorkas. Mayorkas is a political appointment.
Yes,
Department of Homeland Security, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the gentleman who is under him, but is over the border security agents. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
He testifies. He's the one who's going to tell you the hard truth, I think. He's the one who said at the congressional hearing, we don't have control of the border.
That's right. That's what he said, under oath.
We don't have control. And the reason Mayorkas is taking a beat down from Cruz and Kennedy is because he's the one who is he's the one that's holding back the border security from doing their jobs.
Yes.
Because he's being told by Biden, let them all in.
That's right.
And Harris, who's supposed to be over our border problem, remember that when Biden appointed her to that? And she's AWOL.
That was like early on.
Is she like traveling in the Middle East looking at pyramids or something? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
She wants to give them money now, too.
And having word salad conversations. I mean, so anyway, the Democrat Party is basically the party of open borders.
Yep.
Or no borders. And so people will have to take that calculation into account when they vote next time around. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.